when our children were younger, we had this foot-long conveyor belt hanging next to the television, and it has three letters in it, FPG, FPJ, FPJ. For you Filipinos, you know who FPJ is. That three-letter was written, and it's this conveyor belt. When our children needed reminder to behave, I would say, do you like to listen to FPJ or me? And our children understood that that foot-long conveyor belt named FPJ is specially used to cause skin-deep pain. I remembered that belt was given by a team of in a seminar about parenting, and I don't know how effective it was, but for sure it is a reminder. It helps me remember how we disciplined our children. Well, everyone, for love and care, parents would do what they think best to discipline children. Now, how do your parents discipline you when you were delinquent and rebellious? Rebellion is not exclusive to children, but what is biblical reality of stubbornly rebellious children? It is stated in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Let's read this together. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord now. Know that that word, when the Lord declares woe, it signals grief, it signals lament as result of obstinate attitude or lifestyle. When the Lord declares it, therefore it surely happens. It expected that obstinate children will face grief and lament for their rebellious attitude. That term obstinate is properly translated as rebellious or stubborn. Woe to the stubborn and rebellious children, because grief and lament are waiting for them. Woe. The obstinate children mentioned here pertain to the stubbornly obstinate people of Israel. Nevertheless, do you accept that God ignores rebellious children in the world? Likewise, we believers are children of God. So this is a warning for all of us, not only to the Israelites, not only for children, but for every one of us. When the scripture warns against friendship of the world, do you think it was an emphasis of the prophecy of Prophet Isaiah against rebellious Israelites? Can we consider that rebellious attitude? Is it a rebellious attitude when listeners are very selective of godly instruction? They may choose which part of the scripture they would like to follow, and they disregard what they don't like to obey. Many times there are part of the scriptures, we read it and we feel like, it's not for me. Now, when that attitude comes to mind, it means the Lord is working in your heart for you to be able to grow in faith in that area. There are part of the scripture that very easy to obey, and It means you are at the elementary level of your faith. The parts that are harder, meaning you are growing spiritually. And the more that you obey the scripture, the more you grow stronger in your faith. So how do we choose? How do we select what to obey? Let's read again verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be friend, to be a friend of the world, becomes an enemy of God. Did that sink in yet? Did it touch the deepest part of your heart? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, anyone, no one exempted, anyone who chooses to be friend of the world becomes enemy of God. With faith in Christ, we become children of God. Faith must produce faithfulness. As practical evidence that faith is active and not dead. As children of God, we are related to God. And that relationship with God, it is comparable to husband and wife relationship. And that requires husband and wife faithfulness and loyalty. God is faithful. His children are expected to be faithful to Him. If you consider yourself a child of God, God is faithful, we are expected to be faithful as children of God. God has chosen the Israelites to be His holy people. When they worship the gods of other nations, it was considered rebellious to God. They were not faithful. They forsook loyalty to the one true God. Thus, they were considered adulterous people. This is why when the author of James said, "You adulterous people," Christians with Jewish background understood it very clearly. This is why somebody suggested that the book of James was particularly written to Christians with Jewish backgrounds, although it was not mentioned. Because most often, if we look at it, it pertains to the scripture. It pertains to lifestyle of Judaism. So the Christians who had Jewish background could understand and perceive well, fully well, that they were rebuked as adulterous people. All Christians, Jewish and Gentile background, we are not supposed to be deeply affectionate, associated with worldly trends or lifestyle, worldly lifestyle. To have fondness, to be deeply affectionate in worldly pattern of lifestyle that is considered alienation, that is considered hostility to God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. How do you treat your friend? When your friend calls, "Hey, come, we have a party," immediately you go because he's your friend. "Oh, let's go have hiking. We go hiking. You go because he's your friend. Let's go fishing. You go because he's your friend. Not because you love fishing, because you want to be your friend. Partial trust or no complete reliance upon the Lord is rebellion to Him. If it is only partial, "I trust you, Lord, this little, not full. I comply, Lord, this is the only instruction that I would comply, but not all." That is considered rebellion to the Lord. Of course, it is by faith that we believe that. Godly wisdom also help us grasp and understand that personally and apply it in our life. So if Christ is working in our life, if His Holy Spirit is working in our life, we would understand that partial trust, incomplete trust, incomplete reliance to the Lord is rebellion to Him. Ask yourself, do I trust the Lord completely, or do I just trust Him a little bit, partially? It's tough, right? It's tough. Why? Because we are limited. This is why we need the Lord to help us. Lord, I cannot trust you fully well. Accept that reality. Help me trust you completely, not just partially. Yes, we are still living in this mortal body. And this mortal body is easily attracted to worldly concepts, worldly concerns, worldly pattern of lifestyle. We are attracted because of this mortal earthly body. What should we do? How do we behave? Now let's learn from what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And it says in Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. Let's read together, meditatively. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place their hand on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Listen carefully. Remember that those disciples, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They should have known him. I don't know how long, maybe a few months or a year or two, when this lesson was given to them. But they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet at that time. The time when this lesson was given, they didn't have the Holy Spirit that we have. The Holy Spirit came upon them only after the resurrection, after Christ returned to heaven. So the disciples were just acting in their natural instinct at the time. And that's an example of not allowing Christ to be Lord. What? Acting on our own initiative, acting on our own instinct is not allowing Christ to be Lord over our life. We are lording on ourselves. If we act on ourselves, if we act on our own initiative. Possibly the disciples thought, "Oh, let's help the Lord. Let's help the Lord." They did what they may have culturally learned, that was, get the audience, behave before the Lord. Just like you behaving before a speaker right now, listening, that is what they expect. In many cultures, they expect. And children are separated and not hang around when adults have conversation. That is what the practice in many cultures. When you were younger, were you told that children should behave? Who says yes? Were you told that you should behave? Have you watched the was that Jubilee of the Queen, when they were doing that to the children? Have you watched that? It's in the news if you didn't watch. You were told that you should keep quiet, pay attention when adults have conversation. Were you told? Were you instructed, go to your room. We have distinguished visitor. The pastor is coming. The mayor is coming. The governor is coming. The boss is coming. Go to your room. Stay quiet, okay? Have you been in that situation before? Well, young children may not be interested in adult conversation, but they love and they feel secure to play around their parents and even other older people. And our Lord Jesus Christ clearly stated that He wants children to come to Him. Remember that, parents? So when we come together as a church, we gather before the Lord, Christ would certainly be glad to see children around Him run around, play in our midst, even during sermon. What do you think? The disciples rebuke those who brought the children to Jesus, but the Lord told them that we should learn to trust Him like a child, like a little child. Do you think that those little children understood and paid attention to everything that Christ had been teaching? Did they listen to what Jesus was teaching? Did they ask? What do you think? Yet the children still wanted to come to Him. That is the best example of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ by faith, not by understanding doctrines. Right? By faith, we believe in Christ, not by studying the Bible, right? Studying the Bible is useful to teach and add knowledge, but it doesn't give you faith. Faith comes from God. Of course, when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit works through it, use it, and you grow in faith. But if you claim that by logic, by reasoning, you have faith in God, you believe in God, that is not what the Bible says. When the disciples rebuked those who brought babies, did they think, oh, this baby should be brought somewhere, not hang around Jesus? Did they assume that? Well, many people would love to be somewhere else rather than to hang around the Lord. When the scripture says that anyone who chooses to be friend of the world becomes an enemy of God, that term becomes. Can you? No. There were. Get. Go down. Scroll down. One more. There you go. It says, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That term becomes is properly translated as ordained, appoints, designate, assign. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world was assigned as an enemy. You are ordained as enemy. That person is considered enemy, adversary of God. And that's tough. Those considered, ordained, and assigned, designated as enemy, have irreconcilable hostility and hatred to God. The scripture says that God disregard prayers with wrong motives. We learned that last Sunday, right? If you have wrong motives, if you use that prayer item for sensual pleasure, that prayer item is intended for sensual pleasure would be ignored. Worldly affection is considered adulterous toward God. We've got to show that we are faithful and not adulterous. Faith must produce faithfulness, but it is by God's grace. It's not from our own initiative. We ask, Lord, I'm a little bit faithful. I want to be faithful, truly faithful. Help me. Practically, faith is shown in humble dependence to the Lord. And in prayer, if we depend upon Him, that is also humility. Submission and compliance to the Lord, that is practice of faith. It shows faith when we submit to the Lord. It shows faith when we comply to His instructions. Let's read again verse 5 and verse 6. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us, but He gives us more grace? That's why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Somebody said, now, when you recognize that you are humble, it is when you start to become proud. Oh, I'm humble. When you say that, something like that. The Scripture teaches us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord knows it when we are proud or when we are humble. The Holy Spirit dwells in us by faith. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and He dwells in us. Question is, do you sense His presence in your life? When you pray, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, please come into my life. Do you sense His presence in your life? Do you sense love? Do you sense faithfulness? Have you received the Holy Spirit of Christ personally? If so, do you accept that worship of other gods or to be affectionate with worldly pattern of lifestyle is adulterous before God? The Holy Spirit would tell us that it is rebellious to God when we are affectionate to the worldly pattern of lifestyle, worldly attitude, worldly concerns. The Holy Spirit of God is jealous God. Do you understand jealousy? Holy Spirit of Christ is jealous God. He wants us to be contented, to be satisfied in Him. He knows our personal affection. He knows exactly. If we earnestly desire godly guidance, if we crave for sensual pleasure, He knows it. Anything that we do, does it prove that we rely upon Him? Think about that. In everything you do, assess, evaluate yourself. Am I relying upon the Lord? When we do that, He would love it. The proud would ignore and not seek the help of God. If we don't seek Him, that pride in us is at work. Believers who depend upon the Lord rather than on their self, they are basically favored. You want to be favored by the Lord. Trust in the Lord, submit to Him, comply to Him. We should aim to be God-reliant, not self-reliant. Have you heard that? If you've been a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, or whatever scout that is, you've been taught about self-reliant, right? And that's very tough because we want to be God-reliant, not self-reliant. How do we determine self-reliant and God-reliant? Now, this is very tricky because we need godly wisdom for us to do what is best, what is right in the Lord. When we do that, even spontaneously, you are relying upon the Lord. But when you do something, you know that it's self-reliant. When you do something, I'm doing this so that my friend would say, you're good, good job. When you're waiting for something like, good job. When you're waiting like you want to have thumbs up in your Facebook page, that's self-reliant activity. The human self, the self, want to be appreciated. Is it bad? No, it's not. In our eyes. But in the eyes of the Lord, that is rebellion because you are depending upon yourself. He wants us to be submissive to Him, so that in our activities, the first thing that comes to mind would be, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me this family. Thank you for giving me this home. Thank you for giving me this job. Instead of, yeah, I'm promoted because I'm good. No. You understand that? You understand the difference now? By faith, you grow and learn about that. We should aim to be submissive and compliant to the Lord as practical proof of faith, of our faithfulness and loyalty to Him. When we grow faithful to the Lord, we grow in our faith. And God will favor our prayers. God will favor our prayers. Husband and wife, how do you show faithfulness and loyalty to your spouse? Do you say to your wife, when your wife cook and it's so salty, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good. When it's so tasteless, oh, it's so masarap. Do you do that just to appease your wife? Or your wife say to your husband, oh, you're growing stronger. Oh, you're growing handsomer every day. Do you do that? If you were updated and familiar of or particularly aware about Philippine celebrities, do you watch Philippine show business? You may have heard about a confession of a popular celebrity who admitted dishonesty and unfaithfulness to his wife. After 3 years of marriage, they decided to split. It's truly heartbreaking, a reality that is easier nowadays to split rather than to reconcile. Everyone has limitations. We all have shortcomings. There are many reasons not to reconcile, and pride is one of them. Shaky faith in God can readily prove inconsistency. But the Lord is loving. The Lord is merciful. He welcomes us back when we return to Him in humility. Lord, I've been unfaithful. I'm not trusting you the best you expect. Admit it and ask the Lord's help, and we grow in faithfulness. If we completely comply and submit to Him, that shows that we are growing in faith. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22-24, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Submission of wives to their husband is practical illustration of submission of believers to the Lord. And truly it takes humility for wives to fully submit to their husband. It takes humility. In humility, we also submit. We also comply to godly instruction. We do not argue with God. It's futile. It's futile to argue with God. If we try to prove our thought is better than His ideas, it shows disillusion. It shows confusion. It shows pride on our part. Lord, ito ang gusto ko. Bakit ito ang binigay mo? As if the Lord doesn't know better than you. When we complain to the Lord about which one is better, it's the human instinct that's working in our life. By faith, we can be submissive. We can be compliant to the Lord. It's by faith. We just don't force that. It's not because you heard it from the pastor, I need to be submissive to the Lord, I need to be compliant to the Lord. No, I bid that, I pray that you would remember to pray and ask the Lord to help you submit to Him. Well, radical mindset cannot readily accept such biblical teaching. Radical mindsets would say, No, that's not true. It's by faith we believe and obey biblical principles as pattern of Christian lifestyle. If you want to live in Christian lifestyle, the scripture is our guide. For sure, it is useful to understand and explain logically the Word of God. If you can explain it to others, just the way we explain it in the pulpit, that is useful. But for us to grow closer in our relationship with God, it requires total obedience, not partial, total obedience to His instruction, not even logical reason. I do this because how confident are you about faith in Christ? Your faith in Christ. How strong is your faith in Christ? When you face difficult struggles, are you focused on the Lord? Well, sometimes when there's a surprising difficulty, surprising problem that we haven't we haven't walked on before, we are confused. And we focus ourselves on the problem. And this is what happened. One time when Jesus was walking on the water, remember that? Jesus walking on the water. Who walked on the water with Jesus? Peter? Peter might want to practice his faith and said in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 33. Let's read together. Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. When those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, that's wonderful. When he was scared, Peter, what happened? He saw the wind. Did he really see the wind? He saw the wind. How could he see the wind? Well, Peter was terrified. When the wind caused huge waves, and the waves splashed to his face, that was what he saw. Figuratively, we also saw problem. We also see problem, right? How? We actually see practical causes of problem. For example, what problem can be seen when there's financial problem? What problem can you see? No money? No savings? What can you see? No money? How can you see? No. Eh, wala nga eh. Paano mo makikita na mayroong problema? Eh, wala nga eh. Di ba? Nakikita mo, walang problema. Ah, paano mo nakikita na wala? It's illogical, but it's real. Surely, the naked eye cannot see practically financial problem of no money. When we sense the absence of money, it testifies to financial problem, right? What is the shape of no money? To see is you know the shape, you know the color, right? You know the size, you know the length, the height, the depth, you know that. You see, you can measure. To see is to measure. With those things, those are the description of things that we see, right? But there are problems we can see in life that we don't see, we face that we don't see. Not perceive, but cannot estimate how big, we cannot estimate how wide, we cannot estimate how tall, we cannot estimate how deep. Those problems, but we see. We need God's help, and He favors us if we constantly depend on Him. When you sense that little doubt, just little doubt, little bit of doubt. Ask, Lord, help me increase my faith. Spiritually, if we try to prove that we can live on our own effort, I can do this, I can do that, do our activities independently, it is considered as tangible, obvious proof of arrogance before God. And when we are arrogant, when we are proud before God, the Lord ignores us. The Lord don't listen to our prayers. The Lord favors, listen, the Lord favors humility. Our message today is about favored. If you want to be favored, it's humility. We have to be fully submissive and compliant to Him. That is how we become humble before God. In verse 7 it says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The kind of humility that would please the Lord is full submission, not partial compliant to Him. To submit to God only when we like it, I would like to submit to God now, tomorrow maybe I will do my own. That is partial. That is not the humility that the Lord wants. It is not complete submission. Partial submission to God is not favorable to Him. Now, you know, when your prayers are not answered, it's not because, maybe it's not because about sensual pleasure, but because you haven't been humble before Him. God favors full submission to Him. But every now and then we are bombarded with devilish concern, devilish concepts, worldly concerns, worldly concepts. If we are not very aware, we can be easily sidetracked or deviated from our focus on the Lord. Deviation from our dependence upon the Lord is adulterous before God. Just a little bit of that, not submitting to the Lord, that's very tough, right? Because we are still in this mortal body. This is why if ever you are awake and remember to pray, Lord, help me submit to you fully. We can't fully rely upon ourselves to submit to God. We cannot do that. Don't try to push yourself submitting to God because we cannot do that. Total submission to the Lord is reliance to Him by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. And that is when the Lord Jesus becomes Lord in our life. This is why we call Him our Lord. We want to rely upon Him. It is godly submission. It is godly instruction to submit ourselves to God. If it is godly instruction, it means we need godly empowerment. We have to rely upon godly empowerment and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Anything godly, any instruction that is godly, we need godly inspiration. Additionally, godly instruction, this is to resist the devil. It cannot be done by human effort. It cannot be done. Why? Because we are attracted to worldly things, worldly concerns. Those are the things that we are instinctively attracted to. So we also depend upon the Holy Spirit in empowerment of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Do you have any idea what the devil used to tempt us? What is it that the devil would use to tempt us? What can we do? Before Jesus started His ministry on earth, the devil tempted Him as narrated in Luke chapter 4, verse 3 to 13. Let's read this meditatively. The devil said to Him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led Him up to a high place and showed Him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And He said to Him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. The devil led Him to Jerusalem and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him. Very familiar temptation that we also face in this world, right? Bread or physical needs, power, authority, fame, popularity, worldly splendor, all worldly temptation that the devil uses, they are also the same temptation that we struggle with our life in our everyday life. Another temptation that the devil used was the scripture. Anyone can quote this scripture? And many social media accounts are flooded with scriptural passages. Even the devil can readily use the scripture. But the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Listen. God may allow you to become rich. Amen? May God let you become rich. But don't forget that we need his words to grow spiritually healthy and mature and not dormant in our faith. The Lord may allow you to become famous and popular. You like that? Unless you like paparazzi. He may allow you to be promoted. Well, to become famous and popular, you will have that financial value when you put that in your TikTok or Facebook or YouTube. The Lord may allow you to be promoted and established in your authority. Would you like that? Make sure you worship the Lord and serve him only. Not the position, not the promotion, but the Lord. Lastly, biblical principles in the scripture can disillusion anyone, even seasoned preachers and church leaders. So we are instructed in Luke chapter 22, verse 46. Let's read Luke 22, 46. Pray so that you will not fall into temptation. When you sense that, when you sense that urging from inside, which is negative in nature or something that would make you proud, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Be prayerful and completely rely upon the Lord. Read and meditate his word. Total submission and compliance to the Lord. This is humility that God favors. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that the Lord also has mandated us to go and testify of his work in our life, testify of the transformation he had done in our life. And as our church leaders would join me here, take this time to reflect upon what the Lord had done in your life. Take this time to thank him. Thank him of the goodness, especially the eternal life he has given you.